It's a journey. You know, brand building is a very dynamic process. And I think if you embrace it from the long-term perspective, then you will be able to put the right building blocks to build the right brand for you.
Welcome to Pioneering Perspectives, a DIA Creative podcast, where we explore marketing insights from regulated industries. Join me as we chat with real professionals navigating these complexities today, uncovering their stories and their savvy strategies for marketing success. Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm your host, Andrea Borcia, CMO of DIA Creative, a digital marketing agency that specializes in health and wellness marketing as a full service option for you. I am very excited to bring a 20-year brand and marketing professional, Tanita Sandhu, head of global brand and corporate marketing at Zepp Health. Tanita, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Andrea.
Tell me a little bit more about Zepp Health.
Sure. So Zepp Health is basically a health wearable technology brand. We've got about 40 million plus active users. So we're very much a global brand doing a bit of wellness, fitness, and health solutions. So for example, we've got a smartwatch brand called Amazfit, and then we've got a hearing aid solution called Zepp Clarity, and we recently launched a mindfulness sleep-powered app called Zepp Aura. So it's a lot about and all about really empowering people to live their best lives from a health, fitness, and wellness perspective.
That's incredible. So you've got a pretty big marketing challenge then, because you've got multiple brands right under the same concept. Tell me a little bit about how you manage all that nuance across all these brands.
Absolutely. So that was one of the first challenge that I had to tackle, and realizing that actually Zepp Health is all about looking to really empower people to realize their wellness journeys. Initially, the sub brands were creating their own proposition, which is fine, right? Because the Amazfit brand is very much about fitness and using the smartwatch, you know, to track your and measure the metrics of how many steps you've taken, for example, right?
Yeah.
And then the Zepp Clarity brand is very focused to help people with hearing loss to be able to use these earbuds to help them hear better. And then Zepp Aura is really about helping people who have problems sleeping or need to relax. So the opportunity was first to kind of capture what is the bigger purpose, right? The brand building exercise does not start with, oh, let's do a demand gen campaign, or let's look at SEO and let's look at buying ads, right? It has to come back to the core of, hey, why do we exist, right? What is our purpose? And Zepp Health's initial purpose was connecting health with technology, which I guess was serving the brand when it first started in 2010, which was using the power of technology, right, to connect health. But it was lacking that human element, because at the end of the day, the technology is only as good as how it actually impacts people's lives, right?
Definitely.
So doing the exercise of recognizing that actually, you know, at the heart of everything that we do is about people. So we came up with a broader purpose of saying that Zepp Health is about helping people live better. And then being able to take that purpose and then align that purpose across the vertical brands made the narrative one more authentic, and of value. Because, you know, Zepp Health is about helping people live better. And we do that by having a smartwatch brand, which is Amazfit, to allow you to have the best access, the most accurate, reliable access to your data so that you perform better, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you do your 10,000 steps, but, you know, it's like, right? It's like, oh, today I did 5,000. And then you're looking at your watch and it's like, hey, good work. You know, tomorrow it motivates you, right? And so on and so forth. So I think having and understanding your why is so critical to build a successful strategy that then starts to, I would say, become your footprint across every touch point, right? So yeah. In brand world, we always say that your brand is your experience. And that really means across every touch point, right? It's not just a pretty logo, not a good looking website, right? It's everything. And then creating that playbook, right? Of the behaviors, the actions, the narrative, the frontliners, how do they engage? All of that starts to have a very considerable approach to brand building.
Absolutely. I mean, and I love the way you kind of, one, defined a brand for Zepp Health, because it gives you the flexibility to add more technology as you want, as long as it fits under that brand.
Yes.
But I really think that that's the important lesson to take home from this is, like, if you start with demand gen or SEO and all these other things, like you said, there's a really good chance that those are going to sound like they come from 3, 4, 5 different companies. Like, you have to start with that why, like you said.
Yes.
Otherwise, I don't even know how you build out from there. Are you finding that people are understanding that when you come into a new role, or when you're coming in to work on brand, or do you feel like people are still like, well, no, just let's just run ahead of that?
And I would say the latter, because there is a constant, urgent, need to be out there, right? Yeah. And I empathize with the marketing folks, because, you know, the pressure is on, right? And so I think that having had the opportunity to work in so many different vertical industries, in different markets, and then being able to also understand that different stakeholders have different idea of what is important to them. So the first thing I would recommend, if anyone is having to undertake this challenge in their current role, is really to bring all the stakeholders together and create a bit of a workshop to draw insights, because by asking everyone what is really important to them, and being able to also ask them what do they think is the brand purpose, will unravel a lot of insights. But you'll start to also see that there's some commonalities, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's an exercise worth going through, because then people will understand why brand building is important, because brand building is about creating a long-term relationship, right, with your stakeholders. Mm-hmm. And that was the interesting thing for us at Zepp Health, because at the end of the day, when we look at the whole idea of preventive health, right? Preventive health is about taking care of yourself before you get to a stage where you actually need to get more medical help. So preventive health is about understanding that everyone has a life cycle, so to speak. and so you start with fitness, right? And a lot of us are in urban communities. And the idea of, you know, needing to go out and take a walk or get some exercise time and time and again is proven to help us cope better with life's pressures. But also, as that person gets older, you've got other type of situations that comes with age, for example, not being able to hear too well, right? So that's also helping, you know, our solution's going to help you live better, you know. Now with this influx of, you know, everything is about mindfulness and meditation apps. I mean, I think just in the last 10 years, that wellness market has just exploded, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know?
And so now people, in fact, there was a study on sleep and the fact that, you know, that that sleep deprivation is now considered a massive health issue, a global health issue, right?
Yeah, so I saw that.
And so the fact of the matter is that we are touching people's lives at different points of their journey. And so being able to say that, hey, we're here to help people live better, regardless of where they are and which chapter they are, that's called building the long-term relationship with that person, right? So yeah. You can't escape that. It's not a short-term gain.
I think that really reiterates why brand is particularly important in health and wellness, right? A lot of times on this podcast, we talk about building trust, making sure that people will trust you with their health, that you care about them, that you're not just in it for the dollar. And I think anyone that's either starting a healthcare company or has one that's been around for a while, that brand is that long-term relationship. You did say something super interesting before this conversation about how most organizations don't realize that they don't own their brand. So I think that's really interesting. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Totally. And I think most so now with social media, right? Yeah. And the fact that the power of the brand is in the hands of the people, right? So, you know, you can be at any medical organization or online, offline, it doesn't matter. But the minute someone feels that they're not getting the desired experience, right, the first place they would go and make that known would be on a social media channel.
Yep.
Right. So that therefore you all the more, right, you can make a promise and then not deliver on it, right? Because that brand will be called out, quite simply. And I like what you're saying about the fact that I also personally feel that the healthcare and the wellness industry really should revisit a lot of their promises and proposition. Because, you know, when you look at a healthcare, like if you go to a hospital, I'm always, always surprised as to why the walls everything looks so, so, so somber, you know.
That's true. That's really funny.
Right?
That's a good point. Yeah.
And you go, okay, so we're already feeling stressed that we're in a hospital, but the environment around it makes it even more so. So I've noticed that some of the newer hospitals have started to put art, like, you know, like really inspiring art, music in certain areas, because we know that, you know, music can lift someone's soul and spirit. Yeah. And so these are all the little touch points, right? That the idea of, you know, ultimately it's a service industry. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's an opportunity to be of service, right, to the community to which you are engaging with. And so I think there is definitely an opportunity for some of these long established brands to kind of revisit more around the experience, because the brand, like I said, it's not owned by that organization or that institute, right? It's really owned by the people.
I think that's a great example. A lot of people will create a brand book, and then they'll just put it on a shelf somewhere and like, okay, check, we did that, we're good.
Yeah.
But that's absolutely true. That's a good example. If your brand is that we make you feel safe and comfortable through your health journey, but then you go into a somber, scary emergency room, you're not living up to your brand. And you're absolutely right then, because then on social, people will call you out. And it's like, you said you're going to give me a pleasant experience. This is unpleasant. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah. And also just being able to, I like what you're saying, and it's very true, where the brand book is done and everybody goes sigh of relief and it's done. And you're like, actually, that's just the beginning, because now we have to bring, you know, take the brand book and bring it to life. Yep. Right. And I think a lot of it has to do with spending time with the people that are actually going to represent your brand, right? And I mean every single person, right? It's not just let's train the management on the brand and what it represents, because they're going to be speaking to the media, for example. No, it has to be that every single person that represents your brand is your brand ambassador.
Yeah, right.
So you have to take the time to really introduce the brand, and that becomes culture. Right.
That's true. Yeah. That's also part of your brand experience. It's not just external, absolutely. It's internal as well. Yeah, definitely.
Yes. Yes.
And all of this comes back to like why you start with brand, how it has to then, because it is the guide for everything else you do. If you've done brand right, and if you're doing a good job of communicating that brand internally and externally, and if you're not, then you just become this haphazard mess. I can imagine this gets even more complicated when you go global and you're doing global brands. So how do you even manage that with different cultural norms and laws and complications? Like how do you ensure that you're a brand that can extend globally?
So that comes back to defining a unique, but a very human purpose, right? Because again, to want to capture a purpose that is relevant in one market, that is a campaign. That's not, you know, that is about resonating and delivering a campaign. For example, right? Let's just say we want to launch our next series of sport watch, and we realize that, for example, cycling is a massive activity, mm-hmm. right, in certain markets, while running is a massive activity in other markets, right? So the idea is to be able to still craft the narrative of helping people live better, but then the campaign could be customized and personalized to suit, right, that particular market needs, so that it's relevant to the people, right? Yeah. So that's kind of how, you know, I mean, that's how we do it. And that's how it should be done, so that, you know, you're not basically doing a peel over and then go, right? It's like, yeah, it works, right? It does not work. Just a quick experience, a real case study to share. So when I was based in Dubai in the Middle East, and I was working on an FMCG brand out of North America, and they had sent a deodorant bottles to serve the market in Saudi Arabia. And the bottles were targeting the women, and the color was the typical pink colors. And it was very interesting, because we said, we're not sure if the Saudi women actually like pink. And they were like, of course they do. And that was the assumption. Uh-huh. But we pushed back and said, we like to do a little bit of a mini focus group and really get the insights before we start to market them. And we did a focus group with about 30 women, different demographics. And the first thing they said is, we're highly insulted that there is this assumption that just because we're women, we like the color pink.
Ah, oh, that's perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's where, you know, coming back to your point of really understanding local needs means having local insights. Mm-hmm. And never drawing on assumptions, because, you know, that is a very expensive pitfall. So taking that time to do the research and getting the insights is extremely critical to any local global campaign.
Definitely. And it sounds like their brand didn't have to be pink. Like, I like that you brought brand back to human, because their humans are everywhere, regardless of country.
Yes.
But making those local assumptions is where you have a pitfall. But if you go back to brand, you can still be on brand and be local.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And then that comes back to, you know, having a secondary color palette that might be a little bit more, you know, I would say flexible, so that you can still apply different color palettes, but it's still within your brand color wheel, for example.
Definitely. How often do you think a company should go back and check in on their brand or reevaluate their brand, kind of make sure that they're still on brand and the brand's appropriate?
Totally. So I think I think it's necessary to do it yearly in the sense of being able to audit, because we are, you know, the worlds of the physical and digital are you know, colliding, right? And so being able to have your pulse on how the brand is viewed or experienced or is engaging. And doing a yearly audit, I think, will help you to kind of gauge where you are today, you know, where are the gaps, what's the opportunity. So I would recommend yearly audits and reviews.
Nice. And then a deeper brand dive. What does that entail? You're saying bring the whole team together, make sure that you have every aspect. But if you're new and starting out, you know, how do you recommend starting? Like, what are the questions you should ask yourself?
Oh, so I think the first question to ask yourself is your why, right? And coming back to that, that's going to be to determine what would potentially be your purpose, right? And so why do we do what we do, right? And then for whom,
right?
And what is the value offer, right? Yeah. And also benchmarking, right? So not being very insular in the approach of saying, well, you know, we're going to offer the best possible service there is. And so not being vague, you know, being as clear as possible on what is it that you're offering, right?
Absolutely.
And identifying then what the opportunity is within that scope of what you're offering. And looking at your benchmark is such a healthy way to understand your market, your peers, and also doing social listening. You know, one of the things is not just looking at someone's website. Like that is done. You just go to their social media channels, right? And actually take the time to read, what are they posting? Right. What kind of feedback are they getting? Stalk them, basically. but really to get a very deep understanding of, you know, who you're up against, right? And then being able to go, okay, I would also say that besides the benchmarking, if you have existing clients or customers, you know, invite them to be part of your discovery, and that way they'll appreciate the fact that you want to improve, right? Hey, you know, we're looking to revisit our brand and what we do. We love to get your feedback and your support, you know, so giving some of that autonomy, right, of that brand building and inviting the community to be part of it is actually very, very powerful and hugely impactful.
Yeah, I feel like one of the biggest mistakes I see when people first start is they try to be everything to everyone, but you're not going to do that. It's never going to happen. So
no, and that's always the biggest challenge when you are trying to steer the direction, right? And you're trying to create the North Star amongst your stakeholders. And it's like, yeah, we're smart and we're efficient, and you know,
and who isn't?
And we're affordable. And we're better than the rest. You're like, okay, we got to pick one.
Definitely. With health and wellness marketing in particular, how do you see the market evolving over the next 5 to 10 years? Is there anything that companies should be focusing on as they evolve their marketing?
I would say that the company or anyone should really be focusing on the brand and the brand touch points. I really feel that if you take care of the journey, right, in which you want your brand to communicate what it does, what it offers, and then you want people to experience that, creating a bit of a mapping journey online, offline, whether you're in a direct channel, indirect channel, recognizing that, you know, what are the pain points that, you know, you need to solve so that the journey becomes seamless, the journey is integrated, I think is really going to be a key differentiator.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, Tanita, is there any last advice you give to someone when they think through brand and marketing, especially in this space?
I would recommend be fearless. You know, it is a process, but it's a journey, and know that, you know, brand building is a very dynamic process. I think if you embrace it from the long-term perspective, then you will be able to put the right building blocks to build the right brand for you.
Yeah. Long-term. You're not trying to build something that's a fly-by-night. Perfect.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's been our episode. Thank you so much again. That was Tanita Sandhu from Zepp Health. Where can they find out more about Zepp Health?
Oh, they can go to www.zepp.com, Zepp.com.
Perfect. And thank you, everyone. Once again, I'm your host, Andrea Borcha, CMO of Dia Creative, and hope to see you again next time.
The purpose of this podcast is to make sure that we're all learning and growing from each other. That's why we meet with professionals in the industry. So what I like to do at the end of each episode is share my key takeaways from this conversation. What I really enjoyed about my conversation with Tanita is we focused on brand. Brand is so critical in health and wellness because that is the baseline of the trust that you build with anyone that you want to interact with, which also means you always have to make sure you're cohesive and consistent. Any cracks, any aberrations, anything that feels off balance is going to instantly degrade the trust that you've built with your target market. So first and foremost, establish a core brand purpose. It's essential to not only define the brand, but the core purpose that should align with any sort of sub-brands or verticals or any place else that you're going under this unified message. Why do you exist? Who do you serve? How do you uniquely serve them? This foundational element guides all marketing efforts, ensuring consistency and authenticity across different products and markets. For Zepp Health, the purpose is about empowering people to live better lives through health, fitness, and wellness. Very clear, very concise, and something that can easily translate across any field, whether that's social media, email, text, TV ads, anything, and especially with social media. Because one thing that I really liked about this conversation, digging in with Tanita, was that social media can be such a scary place for health and wellness. I remember super early on in my career, you know, 15 plus years ago. So what we were trying to do was a 1-hour live Q&A session on Twitter with our chief medical officer. Now, to do that effectively, you can't just have your chief medical officer pop on Twitter and just start answering questions, especially since it was unscripted, because the questions were going to come directly from the audience and we'd have to see. I mean, we were moderating what questions came through to make sure that they were appropriate and effective and also aligned with what we were trying to get across. But in the room, we also had almost the entire marketing team. We had regulatory, we had legal, senior leadership, just in case. And so having all of these people together just to have a 1-hour live Twitter session was actually a lot of fun. But at the same time, it was a lot for a small payoff. Further enhanced, I think, the brand trust that with our audience, they knew that we were a brand that could be trusted and that we cared about what they wanted to know about. And we actually ended up being pretty speedy. I mean, considering it was live, we still got questions and answers out, even though 4 or 5 people had to approve the answer before it could actually be tweeted out. The second major takeaway from this conversation was how to localize campaigns, but stick with that global brand consistency. And that can be really challenging. How do you maintain the global brand's core purpose, but also adapt these campaigns to resonate with local markets and their local needs? This involved understanding local cultural nuances and preferences through research and insights. One example we discussed was that focus group in Saudi Arabia, which revealed that assumptions about preferences, like the color pink, for example, for women, is misguided, and it'd be better to focus on getting those proper local insights before marketing in that space. my third takeaway was how we discussed social media. It's one of those channels that I think a lot of medical marketers are fearful of. It evolves really fast. Each platform has its own unique culture and needs, let alone speaking about different countries, but understanding each platform's nuances. And how do you make your brand fit effectively within that platform while also respecting what you can and can't say for your brand, and how do you engage with that audience? So I really liked that we leaned into utilizing social media to create that genuine connection by sharing relatable and valuable content and doing it in a way that really helped you connect with your audience. Because there's so much fear around that particular channel, that things could go wrong so quickly, I think taking the time to understand how to do authentic storytelling, how to be consistent, to build that loyal community and drive engagement was absolutely wonderful to explore. In particular, we dug into how Zepp Health used social media to showcase real user stories, fitness tips, and wellness challenges, which doesn't only promote their products, but also encourages a healthier lifestyle among their followers, which is exactly what their followers are following them for. So engaging directly with the audience through comments, messages, and interactive content like polls and live sessions were further enhancing the brand loyalty and trust. How do you build authenticity into your healthcare marketing campaigns? It's one of the few verticals where it's absolutely critical to connect in an authentic way to your audience. If you want to learn more, make sure to check out this next episode where I talk to Heinoso and we explore the deeper aspects of marketing beyond just selling a product, but emphasizing that authenticity and data-driven human connection. Well, that's the end of our episode for today. If you work in a regulated field like medical, legal, or finance and want to share your own marketing insights, email us at podcast@diacreative.com. And if you're looking for marketing support, well, that's exactly what we do. Visit diacreative.com, diacreative.com. Any other info you might need will be in the show notes, including all links mentioned in this episode. Thanks for listening.